to a new parak. Parak Yotes. Okay, the next two prakim, Parak Yotes and Parak Chaf, the Maharal is going to continue to explain to us and really elaborate on the role of mitzvos in the lives of the avos. To what degree do the avos keep mitzvos? And you'll see from the opening question, you'll see why that question bothers the Maharal so much, especially based on what we learned in the previous parak. Okay, so let's take a look. Yesh aleinu levar. We need to clarify. Acher she'amarnu she'betorah hi ru'uya beprat liYisrael. We explained previously, as we explained in the previous parak, that the Torah is really the gift of the Jewish people. It belongs to the Jewish people. We explained why the Torah wasn't given earlier in creation. We touched a little bit, again, on the relationship of the Avos to the Torah. But the question now becomes very strong and very clear. Im kein lama nosn la'avra mamila. Meaning, memanav shach. Either it's appropriate to give mitzvos to the Avos, in which case, give the mitzvos in their entirety to the Avos. Or it's premature to give mitzvos, and why sprinkle an occasional mitzvah here or there for Avram or for Yitzchak or for Yaakov? Hasha'ila habeis, and the follow-up question to that is, and specifically this question is asked with regard to Avram Avinu, ki kafi das chazal sha'amru. The Gemara tells us in two places, Yom Adav Chavches, it's also a Gemara at the end of Maseches Kedushin, that kiim Avram kol haTorah kula, that Avram kept the entirety of the Torah. Now again, let's just be clear, that doesn't mean that Avram kept the Torah the way that we keep the Torah. It doesn't mean that Avram's tefillin looked exactly like our tefillin, although there may be room to say that as well. But whatever it means, whatever this concept is, the Gemara clearly says in two places that Avram kept the entirety of the Torah. So why are we singling out Mitzvah Smila? And the Gemara's source for that is Shenamar, as the Pasuk says in Bereishis Chavav, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bekoli, Vishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Vesarasai. Avram kept everything. V'ka'amar Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvos Umila. So the Gemara says, and in case you're not sure, maybe when it says that Avram kept the mitzvos, it means he kept the seven mitzvos of all B'nai Noach in addition to the mitzvah of Mila. Maybe he kept eight mitzvos. Where do you see in that pasuk, the Gemara asks, that Avram kept Kol HaTorah Kula? The Gemara says, if so, Chukosai Vesarasai Lamali. It must be v'ka'amar ki'im Avram afilu eruvei tavshilin. Avram not only kept the mitzvos d'haraisa, an amazing Maamar Chazal, that Avram kept also eruv tavshilin. Shenemar, Avram kept the Torah in its entirety, not only the Torah shebechsav, right, but my Torahs, achas shebechsav, achas shebaal peh. Avram kept everything. Okay, so let's take that at face value. Again, whatever that means exactly from Avram, you know, if we were to go back in time and to see Avram, what does that mean that Avram kept the Torah? Did Avram eat matzah on the night of the Seder? Be'erev tochlu matzos? Now again, you remember that we have a couple of Rashis that talk about Avram and Lod and matzah. And the Beis Halevi understands it very much kipshuto. I remember seeing once in his drashos, in his writings, that Avram ate matzah. Avram ate matzah on the night of the 15th. He maybe didn't understand what matzah in the future would mean on the 15th of Nisan. But Avram kept Torah shebechsav. Avram kept Torah Shabbal Peh. Okay. Umidavar zeh mashma ki Avram beprat kiyem kol haTorah kula. But from the emphasis, from the fact that the Gemara is working so hard to prove Avram's relationship with Torah, so it sounds like Avram kept the whole Torah, not necessarily Yitzhak and Yaakov. And therefore, says the Maharal, so I'll ask, v'lama hu beprat v'lo shar avos. So if that's true, that Avram kept 613, and Yitzhak and Yaakov did not, so what is it about Avram? And again, was Avram commanded in 613? Did he infer them on his own? Why not give it to Yitzhak and Yaakov? I thought the whole thing is premature before you have a Klal Yisrael, as we're living in these parashios in Chumash that we're reading in these weeks. So again, we're kind of stuck in a couple different directions. Again, why was Avram given specifically Mila? Right? How was Mila different in the way that it was given to him as opposed to all 613 that apparently he kept? Wasn't it premature to give Avram anything more than the seven mitzvot B'nai Noach? And if he kept everything, why didn't Yitzchak and Yaakov keep everything? So we have quite a few questions to unpack. Okay, we're going to set up a lot of the questions tonight. Uve Medrash Amru, the Medrash further tells us about Yitzchak, shehiz here as Esav, sheyishchot yafeh. Very fascinating. The relationship between Esav and Yitzchak I find to be one of the most interesting relationships in the Torah. That he commanded him to shecht well. Shecht, make sure you shecht well. Esav, make sure you do a proper shechita. Shechein amru sa na kelecha. Take your tools. Right? Make sure you have a proper shechita knife. I don't know what type of halachic stringencies Yitzhak had with regard to Shechita, but he warned him, he warned Esav, sharpen your knife, shechoz ma'anei zaynecha, sharpen your tools, shalota chaleni nevelas, I don't want you to feed me a nevela, an animal that died from causes other than Shechita, make sure it's a proper Shechita. Fascinating. So Yitzhak was machbid on Shechita. So you have seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Avram is machbid on Mila, but really Avram keeps kol Torah kula. And Yitzchak apparently is machbid on Shechita. Okay. Ubepere gid hanasha, let's go a step further. Gemara tells us in Chul and Tzadi Aleph, Amr biyosi bar chanina, mai dechsiv v'tavoach tavach v'hachein. What's the context of that pasuk? It's Bereishis Mem Gimel. What is it? It's Yosef and the brothers. Yosef and the brothers, when the brothers come to enjoy a feast with their brother Yosef, who they don't realize is Yosef, right? Tavoach tavach v'achein, he tells the meal to be prepared in such a way. Tavoach tavach v'achein. What does that mean? Paro lahem beis hashchita. Show them that you did a proper shchita. Who did a proper shchita? A non-Jewish person in the palace of Paro did a proper shchita? And the Gemara, by the way, says, not only tavoach tavach, not only is the shchita, but v'achein, tol gir hanashe b'fneihem. Show them that you know how to properly remove the sciatic nerve, which is not such an easy thing to do in any situation. Rabbi Yehuda da'amar gir hanasha aser livnei Noach. And the Gemara says, yes, this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that even Bnei Noach, again, let's assume that the Shvatim had the status of Bnei Noach, also a big question, but working with that assumption for a moment, let's assume that the brothers had the status of Bnei Noach, and Bnei Noach were makbir on gir hanasha. Okay, so how does that work exactly? V'sham b'tosos, Tosos wonders, V'im tomer dilma lo nesar v'afilu hachi hayu mekaimim kamo shchita. Right? The Gemara's conclusion is that well, they removed the gir hanasha because Bnei Noach are obligated in removing gir hanasha. So let me ask you, are Bnei Noach also obligated in shchita? Because Yosef also ordered that the meat should be shechted. Well, I don't think so. So says Tosos, so well then why are you assuming that they removed the Gidanasha because of a halachic stringency that they followed? Maybe, I don't know, maybe that was just a better way to serve the meat. Tosos says, again, Im Tomar, if you'll suggest, that Dilma Lo Nesar, maybe it wasn't Azer to them. V'afilu Hachi Hayu Mekayimim. Maybe they kept the laws of Gidanasha, not out of some divine imperative, but Kamo Shchita. They were Makbid on Shchita. They were also Makbid on removing Gidanasha for whatever strange reason, I don't know. So Tosa says, well, from the fact that it says v'hachein, prepare it well, it sounds like there was a hakpada. It sounds like there was an actual concern that the brothers perhaps even voiced. I don't know. Make sure you remove the sciatic nerve. Mashma debalav hachi lo ishtaria. The implication is that without a proper removal of the gid hanasha, the brothers would not have eaten it. So it sounds like they were following it again as a halachic imperative. So that's interesting. So Bnei Noach are not the Gid Hanasha. Okay. Inami, furthermore, we could suggest, show them that the animal is shechted, does shechted, but rather hainu nechira. Show that the animal has at least pierced. That what? That the animal was killed before the meat was removed. Shenitztavu ala nechira. Because that much Bnei Noach we know are obligated. Bnei Noach are not allowed to eat Eivar min Achai. The animal has to be dead. You don't need a chassidah per se. But the animal does need to be dead. Right? An animal that's alive is also to a ben Noach. So maybe that's all the Gemara was really trying to say. Ad kan. Minish al nu al zeh. But the Maharal says, this whole thing is so, I'm so confused in trying to just figure out what are the rules here. Minish al nu al zeh ma shekosu atosfos. She nitztavu ala nechira. Ve'eich nitztavu ala nechira. What do you mean? The nitztavu ala nechira? There's a command that the animal has to be killed a particular way. Hare nevela gemura mutaras l'bnei Noach. Let's say an animal drops dead. So is a ben Noach not allowed to eat it? It has to be killed? There's a halacha that the animal has to be killed? That's not true. Ve'eshavnu kidas ha-tosfos. Perhaps what Tosfos is saying, we've tried to explain, that maybe Tosfos is saying that Yosef was under the impression shelo yochlu mishchitasu. Again, this all would make sense to us. That maybe Yosef was just trying to prove to them, it's not about stabbing the animal, it's not about finding an animal. Yosef was just trying to prove to them, I didn't take the meat when the animal was still alive. And that much is a straightforward halacha for Bnei Noach. Right? That's all we're trying. Maybe that's all Tosfos is trying to say. to a ben Noach Aser Misham Ever Menachai, and Yosef is just trying to prove that the animal was dead before he took the meat. Ulafichach Amar Paralam Besashchita, show them the place of slaughter, show them the animal was dead, Hainu Nechira, show them the animal at the very least has been killed, because Nechira is Mutaras Lebnei Noach, Kamo Shemateras Hashchita Liyisrael. A dead animal is permitted to a ben Noach, just like Shchita is what permits an animal to a Yisrael. Okay, fine, great. Detanya harotza sheavri chote chazay is baser mibeis hashchita kodem sheteitzei nafsha umedicha yafa yafa umamtin la'ad sheteitzei nafsha ve'echad Yisrael ve'echad goy muterbo mishchum da hashchita materes. Now you could even play, the Gemara has an interesting scenario, you could have a situation where you cut off meat through the performance of shchita, and you can actually remove that meat before the animal's dead, but since it came about through a shchita, that piece of meat would technically be kosher. So maybe, right, Yosef was just showing, even though the animal, whether it was fully dead or not fully dead, maybe just once the animal has been stabbed, once the animal is dying, just like shchita, even if the animal is still, you know, not 100% dead yet, that would be enough to matir the meat for a Jew. So maybe as long as the animal, Yosef was just trying to prove it's good by your Ben Noach standards. Okay, but what do we see from all of this? Sham inan mina shayim b'kaimen ha-mitzvos afagav shalon etzdavu. We see at the very least that there was some semblance, there was some recognition of keeping, right, gid hanasha, right, that much we saw from the Gemara. The Gemara says that even B'nai Noach, you don't want to call them full-fledged Jews, they're not. But they were keeping more than just the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. So again, we're trying to understand that, again, it's all rooted in the question of when is the appropriate time for the Torah to be given to the world, and to who is it appropriate to be given. We made the point clearly in the previous parak that the Torah couldn't be given right away. It has to be given after we kind of work through some of the more unrefined, lower generations of creation, and only then we come to a Klal Yisrael. But we see that there was already these traces of mitzvos before we even had a Klal Yisrael. Again, you want to tell me Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach? We spoke about that in much earlier Prakim, about a framework of living. But anything more than seven, we have to start wondering, so where do you draw the line? Seven, eight, Avram did everything, Yitzchak did Shechita, what's going on here? Yitzchak told Esav, be careful with the Shechita. Let's do one more step. Let's get Yaakov on the table here, and then we'll try to answer up some of the questions Mirtz Hashem Tuesday night. But let's talk about Yaakov. The Medrash says about Yaakov that Yaakov camped al Pnei Ha'ir, as Pnei Ha'ir. He established a machaneh on the face of the city. He established some type of camp, encampment. Nichnas im dimdume chama. Okay, one of the lessons is he made it to the city before sundown. It's good to get off the road before it gets too dark. V'kava tchumin l'shabis miba'od yom. And he set up some type of tchum. He was sensitive to something to do with tchumin. Okay. Interesting. So apparently, we see from here, Hadadat Amrit, Sheshamar Yaakov Avinu as a Shabbos called him Shinitztava. Apparently, Yaakov had an advanced knowledge of Shabbos. Umeata Yesh Lisho. So let's ask the question. Now that we've touched on Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, let's ask the question. Im Kulam Hayu Shomrim as a Mitzvos. If in truth Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, let's assume for a second that Yitzchak and Yaakov actually did keep all of the Mitzvos. So lama amruel Avram bilvad sheshamar kol haTorah kula yoser meyitzchak v'Yaakov. So then, why do those two Gemaras in Yoma and Kedushin mention Avram keeping 613? If it's true that again these are just Avram kept Mila, but everything else, Yitzchak kept Shrita and everything else, Yaakov kept Tchum Shabbos and everything else. So why does the Gemara only emphasize that Avram kept kol haTorah kula before it was given and bring a pasuk to prove it? So that's our question. If Yitzchak and Yaakov are also keeping additional mitzvos, so what stopped them from keeping the whole Torah? So maybe you'll say, well, maybe they did. We know that they didn't. We're going to get stuck if we try to force it upon, you know, the Gemara, that even though the Gemara mentioned Avram, it was true about Yitzchak and Yaakov also. But hold on a second. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. And we know that Yaakov, in fact, married two sisters. But Amram Dodaso, right? What about Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm sorry, what about I got confused for a second because the Svarim asked the question on Moshe's, the illegitimacy of Moshe's parents, right? Amram married his aunt. That's also against the Torah. An uncle can marry a niece, but a nephew can't marry an aunt. Amram married his aunt, right? So that would also be against the Torah. So exactly what is going on here? What mitzvahs did they keep? What mitzvahs didn't they keep? And why were they keeping a section of mitzvahs, not the entirety of the mitzvahs? We really need to work this all out. The Gemara tells us that there's going to be a suda lasid lavo, and they're trying to figure out who should bench. And Yaakov says, I'm not worthy to bench. Why are you not worthy to bench? Yaakov Avinu, we're called Bnei Yaakov, we're called Bnei Yisrael. All 12 of your children were holy children. Yeah, it's true, but I violated the Torah. I shouldn't bench because I married two sisters. Shem Kain, Lama Nasa Asan. So I'll ask you, so Yaakov Avinu, if you knew it was Aser, so why'd you do it? You had to do it. It was a Horas Shah. It could be. Nefesh HaChaim, I think, says something maybe along those lines. What inspired you to break that halacha? Should we assume that everything else Yaakov did keep? It's against the Torah to marry two sisters in their lifetimes. So what's going on here? Let's just end with this. The Ramban dealt with this question in Parshas Vayigash, and he suggested that the Avos maybe only kept the Torah while in Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov married two sisters, and B'chutz L'aretz, and Yaakov only married Rachel and Leah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Gama davar zeh kasha lekabel. That's very hard to imagine. Why? Ki a mitzvah shi'chovas haguf ein hefrish ben aretz ben b'chutz l'aretz. Because when it comes to mitzvos that are what? That are mitzvos that are not unique to the land of Israel, so those apply in Israel and out of Israel. So if you want to tell me that Yaakov didn't keep trumos and maisros in chutz l'aretz, okay. But marrying two sisters, that's not an Eretz Yisrael halacha. So why should the distinction of where Yaakov keeps mitzvahs and not be in Eretz Yisrael versus outside of Eretz Yisrael? That answer of the Ramban, and again, there's more to say about that in defense of the Ramban, but that answer, says the Maharal, is hard for me to understand. Okay, so we need to really figure out exactly, again, what mitzvahs were commanded and why. Why were more mitzvahs not commanded? Or why, in fact, were the Avos keeping the mitzvahs? If so, why is it only emphasizing that Avram kept the mitzvahs? Why does the Gemara specifically tell us about Yitzchak and Yaakov? Okay, and what is it specifically about Mila? The Gemara started off by saying Avram was given Mila. In addition to the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach, he was given Mila, but really he kept everything. So why are you emphasizing Mila? It sounds like Mila is the unique mitzvah of Avram, and Shechita is the unique mitzvah of Yitzchak, and Shabbos is the mitzvah of Yaakov Avinu. All right, that's where we're gonna have to work on that Amir Tzashem for the remainder of the parak. Okay, so hopefully Tuesday night we'll be able to start to get some answers. All right. Any questions, comments?
Just a question, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Are there other mitzvahs that we know first? I'll say assays that the Avos did besides these ones listed and not Maharal listed.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That line about Avram keeping Erev Tavshilin, some versions say Erev Tchumin, and there's a lot written about that. What exactly is the point there? Right? Is Avram keeping Dinam Durabanon? Again, how far do we go with it? And again, the question of Yaakov being married to two sisters is a very significant question. So it could be there are other Gemaras or Midrashim, I'm not familiar, or at least I'm not thinking of any at this moment, that say, you know, that this one kept that and this one kept that. But I don't know, we gotta figure it out. Again, the opening premise was that the whole point was that Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Right? And that it wasn't given prematurely. This was the question of the last paragraph. We don't give the Torah to the Avos. There was a reason we didn't give the Torah to the Avos. So now the question becomes, okay, so what's going on here? Right? If we didn't give the Torah to the Avos, if that was very much Bikavana, so what happened here? Right? What's going on here?
So putting aside the love of marrying two sisters, in terms of Avraham, I mean, it's interesting that Avram, the first Jew, you know, Mila makes us Jewish. It makes sense. You get Mila. Yitzchak himself is a carbon. Interesting that he is mapping carbon. And Yaakov was the first real starting point of Bnei Yisrael where Aridim Zelazel comes into effect. Interesting
Right. So he's gonna spend some time. He's gonna spend primarily time on Avraham, and why Hasaras Ha'arla is unique to Avraham. Why it makes sense that Avraham Avinu has a strong sheiches to Rus Mila. He'll connect that to some of the other behaviors of Avraham Avinu, and then he'll work on really Yaakov with Gid Anasha, because Yaakov is the source of Gid Anasha, and why that was continued with the brothers and Yosef. And how the Avos, the punchline is basically going to be that the Avos received those mitzvos that were miyuchad to them, as you're trying to work out now, right? Meaning that made sense. Again, the question of Avram keeping 613, we'll have to see, right? Well, where does that come from? And why would that be unique to Avram as opposed to Yitzchak and Yaakov? Again, assuming that that's true, assuming that, Yaakov was in violation, he quoted the Gemara that Yaakov didn't want to bench. Yaakov didn't want to lead the Kiddush and the Suda Lassid Lavo because of his guilt of marrying two sisters. So he obviously felt that there was some violation there. Again, maybe a Horas Shah, as the Nefesh HaChaim talks about, if I'm not mistaken. But we have to see. We have to see. These next two Prakim are going to be all on this theme. So we shall see. Stay tuned for Tuesday night. Mirtz Hashem.
Thank you. Have a good night.